Man, I wish somebody would have told me the truth a long time ago. Nobody sat me down and say, look, this ain't that and that ain't this. I was deceived for so long. It's only right that I expose all this deception. In the mighty name of Jesus. Carry on, young soldier. Listen.
Who told you gangsters go to heaven? Huh? Who told you money make you real? Tell me. Who told you pistols make you tough? And you don't see all the dead bodies on the field? Man, who said that mercy's for the weak? Who said forgiveness is for chumps? They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. Hey, they mourn you for a week and they forget you in a month. Who told you God doesn't exist? Who told you God was just a myth? Who planted seeds of disbelief inside your mind so you could trip? Hey, who told you Jesus doesn't love you? Who said you couldn't be forgiven? Do you not know how much he loves you? Listen, do you not know the king is risen? Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. The truth will hit you hard and knock you flat down on your back. Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. The truth hit you so hard and knock you flat down on your back. Hey, two things either happen. Hey, one, you gon' get mad and hate me for correcting you, for pointing out what's bad. Or two, you get convicted and cry out because you sad and ask God to forgive you for the trespasses you had. You either run to him or run from him, and I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. You run to him or run from him. I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. Everything they told me was a lie, and man, I know that now. It's only right we hit the streets and we expose that now. A dirty devil should've killed me. And Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, cause greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Who told you God couldn't be trusted? Man, I'm trying to tell you, you could trust him. He loves you deeply, please believe me. He hates to see his children suffering. See, I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that he's the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless. I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that Christ the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless, yeah. Who told you?
Good morning. It is Saturday, and it's time to go to school with my Runner for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio listeners. Let us pray. Father, this morning, we thank you because somebody told us about Jesus. We thank you because somebody told us the truth about Jesus, and because of what he's done for us, who he is, that he came from you, he came from above, and that he is now seated next to you. We praise and thank you because of that gift of Jesus. Right now, we're just thankful for the invitation to sit at your feet and to eat. So this morning, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you fill us, feed us, but more importantly, that we move in the direction you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. See everybody survive there. Thanksgiving holiday, praise
yeah.
God. But for us, every day is Thanksgiving. We should be thankful
yes,
every day.
Amen.
We are continuing in knowing not just what we believe, but why we believe. Why we believe in Jesus being the Christ. Why we believe that God is King and his kingdom, his rule, his reign is what he intended from the beginning, and that because of Jesus, it is now very much present in our day, in our life. And we are continuing in what that means for us, to be authentic Christians. Authentic, meaning we should be reproducing the essential features of the one who we follow, the one who we are in. And so we spent the last few weeks looking at the first feature where we are to tell the truth about Jesus, who he is, where he came from, what he's done, how he did it, how he lived. We're to tell the truth. And we looked at the book of, we're looking in the book of Acts still, but we're going to go to some other scriptures today about how that impacted the first followers of Jesus on earth, especially after he left. So with that, if you have your new sheet, it starts with a memory verse that's found in Galatians 5:14. Somebody read that memory verse, and we'll look at the second essential feature authentic Christians should have.
It reads, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself, Galatians 5:14.
All right, thank you, my sister. And I picked that, chose that verse because it simplifies things for us. The entire law, if you look at the, how many books, how many laws were given to the children of Israel?
600 and something?
Yeah, 613 to be exact. 613 laws. Now, I don't know, we don't even have, we have a hard time with two or three. So I can imagine 613. And I was listening to one teacher who was expounding on it. The reason why it ended up being so much is because when they got the first 10, the Decalogue, as we call it, or the Ten Commandments, God had to kind of let's expand on this. Let's explain this a little bit more so you'll understand how you're supposed to be carrying out these things. In other words, gave more details. But we know that to break one of the laws, you broke all of the laws. So, because the whole thing is one law. Let's keep going, though, because I don't want to get stuck in the weeds. So question number one I ask is, what does it mean to love your neighbor? But I want to ask a different question first. What is love?
A feeling you get when you will do something to assist or help somebody, or you care for them a certain way, you're willing to do whatever it takes. They don't have no limits usually.
All right, so we got it's a feeling or an emotion.
Okay.
Anybody else?
God is love.
All right.
We treat them like you treat yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
As you love yourself.
So it's an action or an act.
It's an action, yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
Yeah. You do something you don't generally do. Yeah.
So in summary, it's all that.
Yeah.
But the nerd in me has to go look up words. We get the Greek word, we know the, we call it agape, agapeo, which is found in this verse. And the word means to have a preference for, which kind of leads in our feelings. Also, to wish well to. So that's, or to regard the welfare of. So it is both feeling and action. So it's a bigger word than just one thing. Because we live in a Western society, we've been heavily influenced by Elizabethan English and Greek philosophies, where love is eros. It's a feeling that's wrapped up in romance and if I don't love you, you hear people say, I've fallen out of love. That means that the feeling's gone, according to the songwriters, you know.
Okay.
So just because the feeling's gone, does it mean you stop acting in love? In other words, with regard to the welfare of somebody else. So it's a not either or, it's a both and. It's a feeling, it's an emotion, and an action. And what it is, I said this a few weeks ago, what you think leads to what you'll do, Well, what you feel promulgates what you'll do.
Yeah.
So they go together. You can't disconnect. You should not disconnect the feeling from the action, because we'll get into it deeper in a minute. All right. These are some other words that came up from defining the word agapeo. Benevolence, which means kindness or charitable acts or generosity. So keeping in mind all of these things as we go through, we're going to understand deeper what it means to authentic Christians need to love their neighbors. And it's not a New Testament concept. Our scripture we have here is Leviticus chapter 19, and somebody's going to read verses 9 through 18.
Okay.
When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvester dropped. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Okay, first page. Do not steal. Do not deceive or cheat one another. Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not make your hired workers wait until the next day to receive their pay. Do not insult the deaf or cause the blind to stumble. You must fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not twist justice in legal matters by favoring the poor or being partial to the rich and powerful. Always judge people fairly. Do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin.
Okay.
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So, here in the book of Leviticus, we know this would be according to chapter 19, the Lord spoke to Moses, and he was expanding on what he had given them, because we see some of the language sounds a lot like the Ten Commandments, but it gets to even more detailed, if you would. So according to verses 9 and 10, what's the first thing that he says they should do?
Oh, just leave the things down on the ground. When you're harvesting, do not pick what is, you know, what a little bit that's left, like they did with Ruth and her mother-in-law. They was told to leave the stuff on the ground and let her pick it up. Is that a question?
Yeah, verse.
Huh?
Let's see a verse. What verse you
verse
said?
Nine and ten. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No incest.
He's right.
So actually, they leave something for them to do.
No, we not. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 19, where he says what Deacon Eric was talking about,
yeah,
and he made the connection to the book of Ruth, which is an example of where you were not supposed to harvest all of your fields. You weren't supposed to tear it all down so you could profit from it. You were supposed to leave it. Who were you supposed to leave it for?
The people that were foreigners or the people that lived with them and stuff. That just...
Okay, so we got two groups of people. The poor and who else?
And the foreigner.
The foreigner. So the poor or the immigrant, the poor or the person who was passing through your land who didn't live there. So we would call him the immigrant or the traveler, if you would.
Okay.
So so the first essence in that is about don't glean your fields, don't take everything, leave some for who?
For the foreigners and the poor.
The foreigners and the poor.
Yeah.
And or the travelers, yeah. So you see right off the bat, he's saying, take care of who?
The poor.
The poor and the foreigners, or the travelers,
right.
Or the aliens.
Right.
Yep. Right off the bat. So right there, that's important, because remember, we're asking a question. What does it mean to love, show generosity, acts of kindness towards your neighbor? And who is he identifying immediately as their neighbor?
Anybody else that lived here. People that lived above them.
People that live close by. Anybody that comes through there.
Anybody.
Right.
All right. What's the next one? Verse 11, the first part of verse 11, what does he say?
11. Oh, do not steal.
Don't steal.
Right.
Don't take what's not yours.
Don't take my man's little goat or lamb.
Yep. That was stealing, and that was also adultery. Don't steal. I was just starting to read this morning an article, and I've seen the story before about this this woman in Alabama who's on her family land, and the developer bought all the land around it.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to make her move.
Mm-hmm.
And they're forcing her legally to move off of her land. She's getting paid, but she doesn't want to move. You know that's a form of stealing.
Yeah, if you got the right political people to make it happen, so you sure is. They will steal it.
Yeah. That's her land. She doesn't have to move. She wants to stay. Her family's headed for generations. She, when it fell in disrepair, other people helped and got it built back up. And they're forcing her to move. That's stealing. Oh. That's taking from somebody what is theirs. And I know they'll say, well, we compensated her for it. We've allowed her. But the land to her, just like it would be for Israel, is more than just a place to stay.
Right.
It has emotional value. It has ancestral value.
Right,
It's part of her identity. Part of her inheritance that she wants to pass on to the generations so that they can say, this is where we came from. Yeah. Don't steal. All right. Second part of that verse 11, what does he say?
Oh, do not deceive or cheat one another.
Before that, he said something else.
Wait a minute. Oh, that must be. Yeah, mine.
I'm reading in NIV, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, because this is an LT I'm looking at.
And they go together, so.
Do not lie.
Don't lie.
Okay.
And do not deceive one another.
Right.
We know lying is part of deception, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's a big part of deception. It's amazing sometimes when I listen to people, especially when you're listening to people that follow certain politicians, how easily deceived they are because of the lies that they believe. And the thing about lies is if you continually tell somebody a lie over time because they're not processing, it becomes reality. So it's easy to deceive people once their reality has been altered.
Yeah.
Nicely said.
So, but here God is telling his people, don't do that. Don't lie to people. because it's manipulation, ultimately. So he's saying, don't lie and don't deceive. Somebody had a comment.
I wonder how the NLT skipped that.
This is why I read in multiple translations, because sometimes they move things, or they put them so closely together that they miss out the link between the two.
Hmm.
So, and the NLT is more of a thought for thought translation.
Okay.
So, and it's not a bad translation. I'm not killing it as a translation.
Yeah.
It's just, but when you sometimes
kind of go together.
Yeah, they go together.
Mm-hmm.
Lies lead to deception, and that's why a good lie always has an element of truth in it.
Hmm.
Something that's believable, something you know that's apt to be true, and if your truth has been lies. Anyway, I could go further with that, but I won't. All right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. What does he say in verse 12?
Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely, I am the Lord.
Okay. And I like that rendering of that reading of that verse. Don't bring shame, because a lot of people misunderstand that when in the Ten Commandments, when he says don't take the Lord's name in vain, please understand that does not mean cussing or saying, oh my God, you know, just flippantly using God. It literally meant Israel bore the name of God. Remember the high priest in Israel?
Okay.
In his garb, he would have a part of him that would say that it was holy, separated unto God in his wearing. He would literally on his shoulders have the names of Israel's tribes, six on each side. He would bear the names of Israel and identifying that they were set apart to Yahweh. So in other words, well, the closest thing we kind of have to it is like either being in a family where you have a certain last name, and that last name has a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's known for being, these are really good people. They're nice. They have friendly, the kids are well-mannered. And then
right.
here you come.
Yeah.
Shame in the name.
Yeah.
Kind of the black sheep, if you would.
Yeah.
Thank God I got to fix
that. So it means, it's basically, don't bring shame on my name, because you bear my name.
You're right.
So that's what God is telling them. Don't misuse my name either.
Okay.
So don't go out there saying God told me to do this.
Okay. Nicely said.
You know, when you look in church history, the Pope, I forget, 14th, 15th century Pope, who gave letters to the Spanish and the Portuguese to go and to conquer, and where the heathen would not turn, enslave or murder them. They were free to enslave or murder them. And these were some of the first people who, when they came to the Americas and to the islands, when they encountered the indigenous people there, they basically said, if you're not a Christian, you either become a Christian and we can enslave you, or we can murder you because you're not a Christian. And they did it under the auspice of the Pope, who was supposed to be God's representative. Do not. Loretta, reread your version again, because it's different from mine.
Okay, it says, do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. I am the Lord.
Okay, so when we think about God and what we know about God is enslaving and murdering people, is he okay with that?
No.
No.
No. He was telling Israel, because all the nations around them, they were doing, they were butchering people in the name of Marduk and Dagon and all of the other gods that were the Babylonian gods. They were just, that's what they did. They were murdering their own kids. And God is telling his people, do not do that. That is not who I am. And people will know who I am by what you do. Oh, we're getting to the whole crux of the lesson. All right? So now, I hope you understand that a little bit, and I didn't confuse you. If you do have any confusion, you know how to reach me. Okay. Verse 13. What did he say?
Do not rob your neighbor.
Do not rob your neighbor. Or in some translations it says, do not defraud your neighbor.
Right.
Don't manipulate your neighbor. Don't take it. Don't. It's back to almost cheating and lying. It's all that. It's all going. It's committing fraud. Excuse me. All right. Verse 14. There's a second part to verse 13. I have it in my translation. Does anyone
right.
have do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight?
Yeah, John said, do not make your hired workers wait until the next day to receive their pay.
All right. Now, why do you think in their culture that would be important?
Those people got daily pay.
Honest day's work.
That's the money he used to support his family with, and they needed that day to eat that day, probably.
What y'all just said is absolutely right. And there are jobs nowadays that are moving to that, where people's money is available to them that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which honestly is honest.
Okay.
Don't let my daughter find that out. Okay.
Let's just chop up. I don't think she wants to do the work, some of those jobs. But let's just think about it for a minute. Why do our jobs hold our checks for 2 weeks or a month?
Say that again.
Why do jobs hold checks for 2 weeks or a month?
They can gain money out of it. They hold that money before they pay you. They can gain interest and accumulate a little bit more off of what they sold.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the interest, yeah.
That's the only reason.
As long as they keep the money in the bank, the more money they make off of it.
Yes.
Yes. So now we're talking about God talking to Israel about how they should do differently. Because remember, the world, the nations around them are all empire. This is empire. This is what empire does. Empire says, I know you work today, but you're not going to get paid until. It used to be sometimes on jobs. I know when I first started, like my really grown-up job, it wasn't just 2 weeks. It was 3 weeks because it took them an extra week to process. So you put in 3 weeks' work before you ever got your first check.
Right. Oh, yeah.
A week in a hole.
I used to teach at Wayne County Community College on 94 and Connors. We got paid once a month.
Yeah. That's the military.
Well,
yeah,
I wasn't military.
How does that work out?
Yeah.
I mean, but the military, they do that. Yeah. How does that work?
You definitely learn how to...
You learn how to manage your money, but again,
yes.
The reason behind it, it's not to teach you money management.
It isn't. It's to collect the interest. That's what it is.
But I think if you look at it as that's too many things they'd have to do each day to pay somebody every day. Let's make it convenient. We just pay her once a week so we don't have to go through this every day, too.
But...
Back then, I ain't talking about now.
Maybe back then they thought, maybe because the system, the way it was created and designed, but we know how creative they are now.
Yes, yes, yes.
So somebody back then could have been created. Look, if they paid back in the day, they would pay people at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed? Anyway, so God is saying, don't withhold somebody's wages, and especially in their culture, it was necessary that you paid them at the end of the day, because on the way home, they would have to go stop and get food or maybe pay a debt back or something that they needed. And if they had to wait till tomorrow, it could be everything, because they didn't have refrigerators and deep freezers and things like we do. So he was saying, basically, because, again, not creating a hardship. Don't make life difficult for other people. All right, where we at? Verse 14. This was interesting to read.
Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord.
How would we summarize that verse?
He was just trying to tell them to show kindness, if you ask me, to others. And they already have something against them, so why mess over the disabled?
There you go.
Thank you. There you go. Don't take it
right there.
The handicap.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Don't mistreat the disabled. I mean, literally, cursing the deaf person. They can't hear you, but everybody else can.
Oh, wow. I never thought of that.
putting a chair in front of a blind person so they could cause them to fall or stumble, to hurt themselves. You know they can't see. Or any other person, you know, disabled. You know, go handing something to somebody with no hands. That's cruel.
Y'all pray for me. I'm working on that.
I get the caregiver exception rule.
You're right.
Sometimes it's not mistreating. Anyway, we won't go any further. I'm gonna keep going. Okay.
Okay.
Verse 15. What does it say?
Do not twist justice in legal manners by favoring the poor or being partial to the rich and powerful. Always judge people fairly.
Yeah, well.
Are we not living in that today?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. He's telling them, I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how many lawyers they have. Everybody gets equal justice under the law. It's fair as fair.
That
has no lawyer should not have the same issues that the person that has 200 lawyers when it comes to the court system. Everybody gets the same treatment.
Okay.
You know, and that was some of the pushback on people who don't like the bail laws that were reversed in some states, where people who had, you know, people have sat in jail.
Good morning.
I remember one of the, hey, good morning. People sat in jail for, there was a lady in Alabama who had written two bad checks that totaled about $300.
Ooh.
She had spent 11 months in jail during the day. No, didn't. At night. She would go to jail at night. And they would let her go out during the day so she could pay back her debt. She lost custody of her children because she couldn't be at home.
Over
$300 in bad checks. That's not just.
No, not at all. Ooh.
That's not equal justice. Because she lost her children. She lost a good job, a better job, in having to work at, and then on top of paying back her debt, she had to pay for being in jail.
Oh, no.
Well, that part they do now.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying in jail, because if you got a piece of money and you're in jail, you're charging them for it now.
Now, I don't have any problem with her paying back what she owes, paying a fine that's commensurate to which the crime she committed. But I have a problem when we pay taxes that pay to a system to incarcerate people, and then they charge the people on top of what we're already paying.
Okay.
Well, that must be Southern state.
Oh, you know it is.
Okay.
So the Lord is telling Israel, don't do that.
Wow.
Don't show favoritism. Justice has to, the crimes have to equal the punishment, you know. So we're not going to, the woman should not lose her children and her livelihood for $300
$300
bad check, right?
Right.
Her bank's already going to cancel her privileges. She's already going to have a hard time getting banking.
Yep.
So that's excessive. Mm-hmm. But then other folks say all kinds of crazy stuff, and they quickly get to go to appellate courts and even to the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
Where the rest of us, now we can't even go to the Supreme Court because we don't have the resources to get a case to the Supreme Court according to the Fourth Circuit. Anyway.
Tell it.
Don't pervert justice.
Right.
No favoritism and no bribe. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Isn't that almost the same as when a woman's husband die and you take everything from her? She can't hold land. She can't hold property. She can't hold anything.
And what I'm thinking about more or less is something that I'm surprised we, the American people, really haven't taken up is Social Security.
Yeah.
Anybody who works under a certain amount of money pays into Social Security. Here I am. If something happens to me tomorrow, I have no spouse or any dependent children. Who gets my Social Security?
You can claim me.
No, the government. They keep it.
The government keeps
it.
They keep it.
Yeah. Government.
Is that just?
Not at all.
No.
No.
So when a woman who's married, a couple, it's either woman or man who's married, and the spouse dies, do they get the spouse's full Social Security?
No.
Here they do.
No.
Nowadays they do, but back then
they
didn't get anything.
But not then. Okay. They don't even get it. They don't get the complete now. They raise you up to the highest limit. In other words, if whoever's Social Security was higher, that's what you'll get.
Yeah.
You will not get both.
That's
not
right.
At all.
Yeah, that's right.
Even
right.
though both of y'all worked all y'all lives.
Even
they
though
did that to my mama.
Paid into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
one could only be $10 more than the other, so you don't get much more.
Nope, not much more.
You're left struggling.
So you're creating poverty. You're creating lack.
Yeah.
It's the reason they call him the friend of the court.
Friend of the court. Oh, yeah, you say.
and I think that's something we the American people, if we really would wake up and stop fighting over stupid stuff like what books we should read, that's something we need to get with the government about.
Yes.
They're holding back a lot of people. They take, for every person that dies that does not have either a spouse, or every person that dies that has a spouse, and they keeping back all that money they paid in the Social Security. That's empire, y'all. That is not what. That's perverted justice. That's not just.
Well,
it's not right.
It's more than we think. I was reading something. It's more than we think of people who did not have any type of spouse or anybody that no kids or nothing. It's more people than we think, and they taking their money.
Yes, and remember I said it has to be a dependent child. That means that they have to either be disabled or be a minor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We own the country to do that.
And we have this And the purpose of the Social Security was supposed to help people who earned under a certain income to have a retirement.
Yeah,
right. Social Security.
Or people who were disabled to be able to have some form of living. It was supposed to elevate from poverty. I told you I've been reading this book on poverty, and it's making me pray is what it's doing.
All right. Okay.
All y'all going to have a man in a black car pull up pretty soon and knock on your door.
Come on. Then we can tell them the truth about Jesus and tell them about that authentic Christians are supposed to love their neighbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of conversations I would like to have with certain people who are in Congress who all swear they're Christians. Well, love
Amen.
Your neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Jesus answered, who is my neighbor? All right, let's keep going. Verse 16, the first part of verse 16, what does it say?
Do not spread slanderous gossip among your people.
No. Slander. Don't be talking about folks saying, and it's slanderous gossip. In other words, it's not only just gossip, it ain't even true.
Right.
You know, I heard. So he's saying, don't do that. What's the second part of that?
Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord.
It was
so
a story.
If one of them bulls ran at my man, I'm supposed to go help him instead of trying to just say, man, get out the way.
At least say, man, get out the way.
I can do that.
Yeah.
But you can do that.
You may not be able to run out there, but you may be able to.
Yeah, you're right about I can't run.
but you can shoot, though.
Now,
yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Okay.
So, in other words, don't just stand by. You stand there watching. You see somebody breaking into your neighbor's house. That ain't got nothing
right.
to do with me. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
I remember when we lived at the funeral home back when I was in high school, and this was still when I was in high school, I believe. There was a young man who was dating a woman a couple doors down in the projects next to me, and some guys came, and he owed them some money, so they commenced to beating on him. So I politely picked up the phone and called the police, and they came. And so that was like 40-some years ago. And every time I see that man now, I know that I did the right thing. Because that man, he is still here, and he is clean and sober.
Yeah.
And he is married and living, a healthier life than he was back then.
Yeah,
but I think about, what if I didn't call
the police?
Right. Yeah, he could be permanently handicapped from getting beat.
He could have been. A lot of things could have went wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of people like, it's not my business. You don't pity it. It's your business. What did Jesus say to, what was the conversation between Cain and Abel when he asked, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you are.
To love. Love.
Because remember, love is having a preference to. The emotion should be, I'm looking at another image bearer.
Okay.
I'm seeing someone who is created in the image of God.
In the image of God.
Yes, like me.
And that should move me to act on their behalf.
Wow.
Oh.
All right. Where we at?
Verse 17.
Okay, so now we're at verse
17. Yep. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin.
All right. So now, and I like the fact that it's talking about your relatives, because we know, don't nobody hate like family.
Okay.
Wow.
Folks, Some folks experienced it this week.
Some folks.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you hate those who you share DNA with, life experiences with,
right,
how much more will you not care about those you don't?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I always,
you're saying,
you kin by blood, you family by loyalty.
Well, if Jesus, Lord is saying to them, both.
Right.
It doesn't matter about the loyalty at the end of the day. What matters is that this is your family member. And if they've wronged you, confront it. Don't let it sit for 20, 30, 40 years, and then you're
right,
sitting at the funeral going, we can't get this together because
yep,
it's too late.
Right.
I wish I should have, could have.
I wish I could have. Mm.
This is why we talked about it in the past. Forgiveness is essential. Reconciliation is possible. We know there are some situations where I can forgive you, but you do not get access back to me because I would never tell, like, one 16-year-old girl whose father had raped her when she was 5 and was getting out of prison, and she said, do I have to let him back in my life? I said, I need you to learn how to forgive him, but I need you to learn how to protect yourself.
Yeah, okay.
Does he deserve access to you after he did that? As he apologized, does he understand what has happened? So we do not want to put anybody in harm's way.
Right.
But we also want to be able to deal with, because it says there, rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. In other words, forgiveness so that you, too, won't be guilty of, well, he did something to me, so I'm not letting him do that for tat.
Those
keeping
things
it
we
going.
Never forgive. Those things we never forgive, we never forget.
Yeah.
And we block ourselves from receiving the gift to forgive and the healing we need to move on.
To move on.
Yeah, to move on.
We're keeping God out of the situation by not forgiving. We need power. We need Holy Spirit power to forgive people.
Amen.
Janice is not forgiving. But Christ in me.
And if you hate them in your heart, that's murder, right?
Yeah, because you killed them. You cut them off. They don't exist to you. You don't see them as God sees them. As redeemable, as lovable, as an image bearer. You immediately go to your negative emotions when you see them.
And we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. So if you don't forgive and you leave this earth,
all that bitterness. And then the scriptures, the psalmist says, when I harbor iniquity in my heart, you don't hear me. In other words, the Lord knows who we got hiding in them closets tied up. And we're asking him for more grace, for healing, for deliverance, for forgiveness for our sins. And he's like, wait, who is that duct tape in the closet over there? I know, we've been over this, but we have to visit. Remember, because we're trying to be authentic Christians, and authentic Christians love their neighbor. All right. And this is what we see a lot of. We see a lot of people who are not authentic, not reproducing like kind, like Jesus. All right, and even in ourselves. And so the world sees that. And when the world sees that, they go, hey, Christians, I ain't no Christians. What do they say? Hateful, bitter, hypocritical. That's what they see, and that's who a lot of us portray ourselves as.
Oof.
Well, I love everybody, but I don't care that that man died like that in the street. He deserves it.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. Okay. Let's see, but we're going to keep going. All right. So confront offenses. Don't hold grudges. And then, verse 18.
Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
All right. So he starts it where he, and he says that more than one time. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Make note in your Bibles of where he says, I am the Lord. And what he's, and understand, we're going to come into understanding what he's saying. I'm the Lord. I'm Yahweh. I'm the only one. I'm God. I'm boss. I'm in charge. So he's saying, don't seek revenge. Vengeance is whose?
Mine.
The Lord.
The Lord says it's mine.
Yes.
I will repay. Because he knows the motives behind it. You know, we want to just tell, they need to just lock the key up and throw it away on that person for what they did. And the Lord is like, wait a minute, but you don't know what happened to her when she was a little girl. How she got here. You don't know her backstory. You're just saying throw her away, and she has a story. Stuff started happening way too young. So he's saying, I'm the Lord. I'm the only one who knows. I'm the one who searches the hearts of men. I'm the one who knows. You don't.
Okay.
So no grudges. All right. How much time we got here? We got about 8 minutes. Okay. So according to the law, what does loving your neighbor look like?
Loving them like you love yourself.
Yeah. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And I came up with go ahead.
Wanting them to do as well as you are, or better.
Yep.
Sound like she's waiting on a key word.
Right. Oh no, I'm writing down. I'm writing down what you just said because that's key.
Okay, but after reading all these scriptures, reading those scriptures we just went through, you had asked us at the beginning, "What is love?" So, I myself came up with love is feelings expressed through actions coming from the heart. You know, it's just ironic how we're opposite of that. Truly we are, you know. A lot of us won't admit it, you know. We do these things in these verses without even thinking twice about them. Yeah, you know, you know when you get with this person, you'll say this and say that. But I learned that instead of talking down somebody, I learned to pray. Pray for the way I think. I want wisdom in life more than anything else. You know, I want the wisdom to do God's will so that I can portray
Let's
him. Yeah, and so I can't betray God. If we're his image bearers, we have to think like him. We have to act like him. We have to, and it's not easy. But, you know, it's like God created us all out of love. Love is the bond that keeps us together. And we can't even show each other that little bit of love and respect. That's what's wrong with the world today. We've gotten away from loving each other. Yeah, you know, but...
I got mine, you get yours.
A question popped up in my ear when we was reading through this. And it does, you know, God, the Lord, can say to each and every one of us,
do what I do for you. Okay, when it comes down to love, because he knows each and every one of us. And just reading through that, you know, we can say that we don't do it, but we all guilty of something.
True. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and he just, you know, if you know where I'm coming from, you know, we can say we don't do it, but just do what I do for you, because I know everything that you do. And I don't hold it against you. Yeah, so anyway.
Wow. Okay, so I got some stuff I was writing down. The combination of treating others the way we want to be treated and wanting what's best, which is a definition that I learned a while ago about love, is doing what's best for somebody no matter what.
Okay. Now, does that fall, under that, what do you call it, agape?
Hesed.
Love?
That's hesed, ain't it? Is it hesed?
Both. It's the Hebrew hesed, the Greek agapeo, yeah, agape, yes. Because that's what Christ did for us. Let's look at something, and then we can finish with this. Go to 1 John chapter 4. It's not on your sheet, but 1 John chapter 4. Y'all know we end up going off sheet sometimes, but we need to. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Somebody read.
This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friend, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen.
Okay.
So when God gave this to Israel, those laws to Israel about how to treat each other, he was saying, this is how the world will know who I am, by how you treat each other, by taking care of the poor, not stealing, not deceiving, not falsely accusing people, committing fraud, not mistreating disabled people because people thought they were cursed and that they were all kinds of stuff, not perverting justice and showing favoritism, not slandering each other and endangering each other's lives, not holding grudges, and how you deal with each other when you do offend each other. The world will see that, and they will know who I am by looking at you. And so here John tells us in 1 John that God's love lives in us and his love is made complete in us. How? By how we love one another.
By how we love one another.
Yeah. How we uphold, how we treat each other, how we treat other people, our neighbor. Not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but our neighbor. Because everybody has the potential to come back to the family.
Okay.
God created everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can come home. Well, who would want to come back to a home this dysfunctional environment?
Ooh.
And mistreat them.
Nobody.
We're going to leave off at that, and we'll pick up next week and continue to learn what it's like to be authentic, loving your neighbor. Let us pray. Father, you have blessed us with your presence in each and every one of us, even though we're in separate houses, separate cities, even possibly separate states somewhere. You brought us together through Christ Jesus. And, Lord, we need to live out so the world can see who you are and how much you love by how we love one another. We thank you. We praise you. We look forward to what you're going to do the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank y'all for the good class.
All right. Amen. Very, very good class. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janice, for all your hard work and teaching and just breaking the lessons down for us. You know we appreciate you. And have a beautiful day. Happy Thanksgiving,
thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for participating, and I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, we did.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, just get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? The love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over, but
today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain,
that Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still you're in right now. Say,
you look so much better when
you to be happy, then you gotta have something happy. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I'll see you. Bye. Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
Amen, amen. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving this weekend, and today's a new day, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have our scripture reading today. And you know, today is Youth Weekend. And on the fourth and fifth Saturday of each month, we give and acknowledge the youth, we acknowledge and give the youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our worship service. And this morning, our youth are still enjoying Thanksgiving, so we're going to just stand in for them, okay? And so our proclamation, why we are here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, and has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture reading today is John 10:1-10. That's John 10:1-10. The good shepherd and his sheep. Here reads the word. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to offer you up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that all our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings, Lord. We are so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
With tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take, just remember where your help comes from, realize it's got somewhere to run. What you can do, praise him anyway. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You should praise him anyway. Yeah, oh yeah. I'm just like you. If you cut me, I'll go bleed.
To learn that, y'all. We got to learn how to praise God in the middle of it, because guess what? Jesus said in this life you're going to have trials and tribulations. You know what that means? We're in the middle of it. And if we're ever going to have joy, amen. Did you hear Kirk Franklin? He said, I don't want you to just be happy, because to be happy, you got to have something happening right. But joy. Can't nobody take that away from you. And that's what the Lord God has given us, joy. Amen. A lot of things are going on today, y'all, and it's not just happening to us, it's happening to our youth in a big way. Amen. They need us to be what Pastor Janice Tate just taught us about, examples of love, examples of faith, examples of enduring people. Yeah, we don't say, We don't try to explain away the bad things that's happening. We just show them how to be overcomers in a world that's trying to overcome them. Amen. That's how we help our young people. And we always keep our eyes peeled. We keep them ready. Don't get no knife and start peeling your eye. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I mean is just pay attention to our youth and see if they're ready to start following Jesus.
I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please use me.
Not just us struggling with how to be right and do right and become what we profess and confess when we gave our life to Christ. Amen. I remember Natrice Jackson preached back at the hall a long time ago, and she said that in part of that sermon, one of the statements was that salvation is free, and it is. All you have to do is believe. But she said every step after that is going to cost you. In other words, to become who we are already in Christ Jesus, we have to be willing to look into the mirror of God's word and start agreeing with God's word and start no longer being conformed to this world, but allow the word to do its work on us and transform us into who we're going to be forever. But we need some help with that. I hope this song helped you with how to find that help.
Help, Jesus. Oh, I need you to change me
can try to be holy, we can try to be right all by ourselves, but we need to let Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 happen. Jesus is working on us, and the work he's doing on us is not who we're going to be tomorrow, not just who we're going to be tomorrow, but who we're going to be forever. And we want to get into that. Amen? We want to get into that. Let's start getting our minds together about what belongs to us. Okay? I thank God for Juan and his wife Lisa and that whole whining family for this song that they wrote. And the Lord blessed them to produce it and put it out here. Because what the Bible says is ours is ours. What the Bible says that we can have, but we access it all by faith in the name of Jesus.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey. And it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me.
everything you have for me is mine. It belongs to me. Pastor O, I know you have everybody arms up and praising God this morning. We just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess Rebecca Johnson's Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just the way you should be, and I get you down. He's always around my brother.
Amen. We need to pray. I thank the Lord for another opportunity to serve. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, precious Lord, we are grateful that we serve a loving, compassionate, faithful, forgiving, powerful, and living God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. Praise you and love you and thank you for being merciful and the creator of all things, for waking us up again and for your guidance. Thank you for handfuls of purpose. We thank you for praying grandmothers, for every kindness, for this moment to serve you, for treasures in heaven, for all the blessings, all the provisions, and every answered prayer. Thank you for your word. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned and for a way to go to church without going to church. Thank you for every hand that helps to produce this worship service. We thank you for all those who have and will participate in this morning's service and for each person listening. We admit that we fall short every single day, that each and every one of us are sinners that need more and more of your peace. We ask that you send the perfect worker to cross the paths of all those who are lost and give them a new understanding of you and cause them to accept your glorious free gift of salvation. We ask that you cause us all to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do, Lord. We ask that you let each struggle we have turn into testimony. We ask for supernatural and total healing in the body, mind, and spirit of everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially every single person on our list. Deaconess Mary Tate, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, the Jones family, all those suffering in the Ukraine, in the Middle East and Sudan, Sister Melanie and her dad, Kenny Blue, Sister Naomi and Curtis, the Carter family, Deacon Charles and the Mackey family, Pastor Jonathan Tate and his sons, Dr. Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, Doris Gaither and Nakia, all our mothers, and all of the college students, and my husband, Ed Johnson, who brought me to this church. We put them all on the altar. We lift them up, and we ask that you bless and keep and comfort and deliver them. We thank you for the work you have already done in healing us, softening our hearts, and changing us into vessels for your purposes. We ask that your will be done in each of our lives. We ask that you bless the preacher to give a message that speaks to and feeds our inner man and causes us to grow up in you and be examples of love and faith for our youth. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and another new understanding of you and the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. Dear Lord, we say yes to your ways and your plans for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things and that you know us better than we know ourselves. So the best choice we could make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Bless the Lord at all times. In the midst of every test, every trial, I've made up my mind that I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to worship. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
heart has blown for this moment with thee. I choose to worship.
Amen, amen. Power and prayer. Power and prayer. Govern yourself accordingly. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Thank you. All right. So far, we are having a great time, and I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to just say keep our youth lifted up in prayer. They are important to us, and we need them to survive. Amen. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this song selection is our very own Sunday school teacher of our youth and our young people, Sister Sarah Tate McClendon.
And put on every side. I couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances for my life such regrets, and every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry, sometimes it felt like I could die, yeah. Somebody tell me why, Lord, you gave me hope. My life was broken and cold.
Amen. Amen. Happy Saturday. I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and it is always my pleasure to bring God's word and to allow God to use me as a vessel for only his glory. Amen. Let's pray really quick, and then we will get started with his word. Amen. Lord, thank you for allowing your word to be a sword to every obstacle there is in our way, Lord. Thank you for allowing the light that you give to illuminate within our lives, Lord. And thank you for being the ability to be the vessel that holds that light. Thank you for the love that you spread on a daily basis, Lord. And we ask that we emulate that same love to others. Lord, thank you for providing us with ways out of no ways, Lord, and providing our bodies with healing, Lord, and our hearts with deliverance, Lord, and our minds, Lord, to be delivered as well, Lord. And we thank you just for just providing us to have everything that we need and all the provision that you provide, Lord, on a daily basis to give us all the things that we need to walk this walk with you. We appreciate the fact that you have called us your own, Lord, and called us chosen. And we thank you again for just giving us a way out of no way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, it is my privilege to bring the word, and I am more than amazed at the Lord this time. I've had a very, very, very busy, yet intentional, yet very rewarding week, if you will. And the Lord has really been speaking through ways that I'm going to call them abnormal, but God does what he wants when he wants. And so what we call abnormal, God calls right on time for him. Amen. And so today's message is about light. And specifically, Jesus's declaration of light and then how God uses his own light, a.k.a. fire, to still, to this day, live with inside of us. Amen. And so I am going to start in John chapter 12, verses 42 through 46. Oh, nope, I'm sorry. Let me go back. I'm sorry. John chapter 8, verse 12. And spending a lot of time in the book of John today, talking about Jesus being light. And I'm going to read John chapter 8, verse 12 out of the New Living Translation, and then we can go ahead and dive right in. Amen. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. And so before we dive in, I want to read Job chapter 22, verse 28, because there's some similarities there. And so I will be reading this in the Amplified Version. You will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. That was Job chapter 22, verse 28. And the previous verse was John chapter 8, verse 12. And so one of the reasons why I had to go back in Job was because when he said the light of life, I said, oh, okay, so Jesus is our essential piece. We all know that life is an essential, is essential to being alive, yes. But one thing that specifically stuck out in my study, and Acadia Bird defined it for me, was that light is responsible for all life. And so Jesus calling himself the light of the world and the light of life, but will have the light of life if you believe on him, he is now saying that you will have all of the light that you're supposed to have in me through my life. Amen. And so we see light as an essential piece. Everything that is living needs light for something, amen? And so Acadia Bird then goes on to say, light is responsible for all life. It's responsible for the production of the air that we breathe,
the cycles of the ocean, the magnetic fields around our planet, gravity, warmth, and our weather. And so life without light is nothing. Amen. When the world was created in the beginning, the world was in darkness, and there was no light, and there was no life, there was no nothing. It was a void, if you will. That's what the Bible literally says. There was a void. Nothing was formed. And so light comes in and forms things. And so Jesus calls himself the light of the world, which means I form your life. The minute you come into me, I form your life. Interesting enough, the light in your brain is called, and I don't want to get this wrong, I'm sorry, biophoton, light in your brain that communicates, and it also repairs other things in your brain, the neurons in your brain. And so when you think about Jesus being the light of the world, a.k.a. your world, your life, being the essential piece, be ye saying, absolutely, that I am the peace, the light that gives your inside of your brain the connections and the communications to be able to not only communicate with each other, but to repair. And so we know that Jesus' essential purpose was to come repair the world. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son to save our souls. And so light we see is a very, we understand it to be very essential, but now with Jesus calling himself the light of the world, we now have to immediately give him credit for all life that is here. Amen. And we know that he comes from the Father, so we definitely understand that God created all things, including the sun that made the earth not dark anymore and spoke it into existence, didn't create anything, spoke it. He spoke it. He said, hey, I'm powerful enough to speak it. And so the light that Jesus portrayed and the light that people saw in Jesus is considered the favor of God. And so today I don't want to challenge your light, but I want to plead with you to not allow your light to be quenched, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it literally says, do not quench the spirit. And so the reason why I mentioned God and fire is because God's way of communication is through fire. And in the book of Exodus with the children of Israel, God used fire to guide them, right? He used fire by day, a cloud by night to guide them, right? In Hebrews, God is a consuming fire. There is a lot of figurative language where God is used, where fire is used, a.k.a. the burning bush. God literally used fire to talk to Moses. And so in our lives, we have this fire, right? We have this light. They use fire for a light mechanism in the Bible times. They use a lantern. They use oil. It was a fire. It needed to not be extinguished. Amen? In Matthew chapter 5, I want to say, yeah, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, God, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or in a lampstand. But it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus came down to be the ultimate example of what our light is supposed to be like. He did not allow other people to quench the Holy Spirit for him. And quench means to damper, to put out, to extinguish, that type of thing. He did not allow anyone to do that for him. And with him being able to walk in our walk and be in our shoes, he was able, his brain was able to be illuminated by the light that he portrayed, and his brain was able to repair those places that were offended, amen, that were that needed that forgiveness immediately, so he continued his work, so God continued to get the glory. And sometimes we don't fathom, right? This one was really, really amazing because I really fathomed the fact that Jesus really had a light bulb effect, the same light bulb effect that we have when we learn new things, right? I also learned that there's a thing in your brain called myelin, and myelin can be repaired through light. They use this procedure called I think it's orthogenetics. Orthogenetics. And that's where they literally use light to repair the brain. They use different light mechanisms to repair the brain. And so, again, in John, with Jesus, it says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 9, before he heals the blind man of being blind, he then also declares that he's the light of the world. He says, hey, I'm the light. And so through all light, there comes healing. Amen. There comes restoration. There comes peace. There comes all these things. I took my daughters to the movies, and I'm not going to ruin the movie, I promise. I took my daughters to the movies to see Wish. We always, Thanksgiving tradition, we started about three, four years ago. We always go to the movies the morning before Thanksgiving, and then we come home and we cook dinner, and we make soup potato pie. And this year I made peach cobbler. It was slapping. It was amazing. If I can say so myself. But this year we went to go see Wish, and this year hit a little bit different. If you are able to go see Wish, I want you to go see Wish with your biblical eyes. Wish is a very intense movie, and so I was very amazed when my daughters were asking me certain questions, because there was a piece in the movie where light was being portrayed, and so light was the protagonist, the good guy, and of course darkness is the antagonist, the bad guy, and light wins, right? And so Harley then says, that's like Jesus. That's like Jesus' light. And so I don't want to ruin the movie, but it's interesting how sometimes we don't see the revelations that God is giving to us even in these movies. And we do understand that these movies can be perverted. Sometimes these movies can be deceptive. But, however, these movies also can help explain certain things when it comes to the Bible. In every movie, when there is a bad guy and the good guy wins, there's a beam of light. And so that everybody gets up, everybody warms up. Everybody stands up, everybody stretches, everybody then acts like life is back restored after the light comes in. And so I want to encourage you to understand that when you allow Jesus to come into your life and start adding those bits of light to your darkness, because we all have those bits of darkness, we all have them, right? There are going to be neurons connecting in your brain no matter the age. And so when those neurons connect in your brain, electricity starts, and that's light. And electricity then gives you motivation to do something. Amen. And I also encourage you to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, do not quench the Holy Spirit. That fire that God has inside of you has been lit for a reason. Jesus came down and sacrificed himself so we can be able to live with that consuming fire that Jeremiah talks about. That same theophany that happened in Exodus with the burning bush can happen to us today inside of our lives. When God talks to you, that's literally a theophany happening right then and there, because you hold that fire. And so I found it very, 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 very interesting that when Jesus calls himself the light of the world, he says it more than one time in John. And we hear these I ams. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. But I am going to do a study to see how many times he literally says, I am the light of the world within the Gospels. And so one of the reasons why I feel like that was more illuminated than other things is because light literally heals. They use light to heal. When they restore vision, they use different things of light. Lasers are light. And so if light can be manipulated to heal, then God's word can be manipulated in a way that does nothing but illuminate the word of God when inside of us. That illumination that people saw favor, that's light. That's God's light, literally. That's God's light shining through us as a vessel. And so when you think about Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice, and you think about him restoring your soul is automatically born in a dark place. If light heals and you never hang on to that light or abide in that light or grow in that light, then your soul is already going to be in darkness, always going to be in darkness. And so we understand things don't grow in the dark. Things don't happen in the dark. In Exodus, when the plagues happened with Moses, one of the plagues was darkness. And so they didn't think anything of it until things stopped growing. And God was deeming himself Jehovah back then. God was saying, hey, guess what? I am the light that you need regardless. You're worshiping the sun that I created. I am the sun that you need to maintain all of life and all of this and all of that. Amen? One sec. Let me find it because I want to read it to you all. I typed in physical aspects of God's word. And so when God, when Jesus called himself the light of the world, and when Jesus, when I was able to connect the dots that light heal, light communicate healing, literally in your brain, that threw me for a loop, y'all. I am like the biggest nerd. I'm not a science person. I am a word person. But that really got me like tripping, if you will, because I was like, we literally can allow Jesus to come into our life. We can literally read God's word right here and allow his word to transform the dark spaces in our life. And those light bulbs are going to go off regardless of how old I am. Those neurons are going to go off regardless. Those neurons are going to say, hey, 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 go heal her heart. She's reading my word. Hey, 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 go help him out. He's reading my word. Go pick him back up. We sometimes don't give credit to mental health 100%. We always scream mental health, but we don't 100% give enough credit to mental health, especially when it comes to men. Being a married woman, that sounds good. being married, sometimes I notice when my husband's not feeling his best, right? When my husband's sometimes not in his best emotional state. My husband's a very people person. My husband's a very big talker. And so when my husband goes into the shell, I get kind of concerned sometimes. It doesn't happen often, but it's happened before. And so sometimes he'd be all right. But were you speaking God's word into him to create those neurons? That's the other thing, repairing each other. The neurons in your brain don't just repair themselves. They go help other people. And so we have to take God's word and help other people. We have to illuminate God's light and repair other, help restore other people. No, we can't repair them. God does that, but we can help restore them. We can point them in the right direction of the light. We can be that light that they say, hey, what you got going on over there? Why are you shining so bright? What's up? What kind of oil are you using? Because different oils do different things. Amen? All right, before I lose it, physical aspects of God's word on your brain. It says when we intently and consistently focus on our spiritual values, we increase the blood flow to our frontal lobe and to our anterior cingulate, which causes the activity in the emotional centers of our brain to decrease, giving us sound mind. If we are functioning out of our emotions, we are not functioning soberly in our sound mind. That helps us develop the capacity to make responses that maintain and even restore community. And so Jesus, as he keeps saying, I'm the light of the world, I'm the light of the world. I'm not the light of me, I'm the light of the world. I came for the world. I didn't just come for you, little Sarah. I came for the world. I want to help restore the world. That's why when we have things that are in our way, and I'm guilty, okay? When we have things that are in our way that hinders us from doing what we're supposed to do for God's kingdom, Jesus is like, hey, wait, whoa. People that intentionally want to walk with God, like the Holy Spirit literally checked them and be like, what? No, that was for everybody, not just for you. Go back and give it to them. And if you, and I'm not saying if you don't, but most of the time if you don't, the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, that was wrong. Like, we're not doing that. You're supposed to be walking in light. You're illuminating light. And one of the things that I was kind of apprehensive about being a leader in any capacity, I love the authority part, but the accountability part, right? The fact that I have to, no matter what, read my Bible because someone's watching. And not saying that that's a hard task. That's a hard task to your flesh. That's a hard task to your flesh. And your flesh has to become conditioned through reforming your mind, transforming your mind with God's word. That's it. Restoring your whole being with the light of the world. That's it, the light of life. You allow God to come in and pour his favor on you, and that's how you illuminate. We worry about other people pouring their favor on us, and us, other people growing in the world's wisdom and stature and in favor with man, but not with God and man. We don't worry about our favor with God and man. We worry about our favor with man. And Jesus didn't worry about his favor with man. He worried about what God has to say about him. Amen? Amen. One of the things, one of the last little pieces I had was that fire, God used fire in many forms, but one of the ways that God used fire is a sanctification process to set you apart and to say, hey, because you have identified with me, I now want to abide in you. Sometimes we allow that, we have that fire, right? We start with that fire. That fire is burning bright and it loves the Lord and everything like that. And then we allow certain things to damper our fire. And we forget who ignited our fire in the first place and where that oil comes from and whose oil is pouring into us. Amen. We forget that God is already victor when the world, that was one thing he pointed out this morning and I almost was like screaming at the top of my lungs. He said, one thing that we, that you all, he says you all very well because we would consider me to be deity and that's not the case. One thing that you all forget is that the world was already dark and then I sent my light to the world. I spoke my light into the world, which means Satan had already been there and God had already claimed victory even before the garden was created. Light had already been here. Light had been here, moved, had its being. And light is Jesus, the light of the world. And so to understand that light is here to restore, let's look at light a little differently. Let's use our lights differently. The fire that God placed in you is to set you apart. The fire that God sets inside of you is to set you apart so that you can do work for him. So you can do his work, not yours. And sometimes we get caught up, right? Sometimes we, us being the vessel, we say, hey, yeah, you're right. I'm the vessel. I'm the creator. I'm the this. I'm the that. No, sweet baby. you are the vehicle for God's purpose. I was fortunate enough over the past 2-3 months to be able to study up under some amazing black women that love God and that want other women to grow to love God. And one thing I can say about all three of those women is that I got to meet two of them personally. One of them, I'm still working on that. I don't want to be a creep. But I definitely need to feel her energy is that when you are in the room with someone that loves God to the max, you can feel it. It's illuminated. You can't turn. It says it in Matthew. You can't put a basket over light. The basket don't burn down. If it's the light from the Bible time, if it's a light bulb, if it's there long enough, it's going to burn down. And so you cannot allow the world to quench that fire that God gave you that cannot be extinguished. The Holy Spirit can't be extinguished. He's forever the same. Yesterday, today, forever. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. Can't be extinguished. We damper our life. We put shades on it. We put dark shades on it. When we don't want people to, And sometimes God wants you to shine brighter than everybody in the room so somebody can help, somebody can be restored. Light transforms community. In those movies, again, when the light comes up after the victor has won and all of that and all the Disney movies and all those cute movies, everybody's like, hey, the light's back. What's going on? I actually went to go see Marvel. I'm not going to ruin that either. I went to go see Marvel. I've been at the movies a lot with these kids. They spent my money. But in one of the scenes, the city literally didn't have a sun. And it was a very, very dark, very groggy, very vicious neighborhood. Not to go into detail, but one of the villains wanted to restore the sun, so she gonna, you know, fill it. And at the end of the movie, the light was restored somehow, some way to this city, and their awakening was amazing to see. And that's when the Lord was like, that's what it looks like when people are getting saved. That's what it looks like when your soul is getting saved. When light is transforming your soul, it looks like an awakening from a very, very, very dark place. And we all remember that day that the Lord, for us that are saved, that the Lord said, hey, come on, wake up. I'll never forget my day. I'll never forget July 7th, July 14th, 2017, when the Lord was like, hey, wake up. Wake up. And yes, I was a church kid. Yes, I had been in church all my life, but But life had been so heavy at that point. Life had been real heavy and interesting and roller coasters. And the Lord was like, hey, come on, wake up from your sleeping dead slumber, if you will. You've allowed your fire to almost be quenched because, again, the Satan does not have the ability to consume the fire that the Lord puts in you. He's already been defeated. That can't happen. He turned it down to the minimum, though. He can turn your fire on low, 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 low. And so he said, no, I want to turn my fire up in you. I have things for you to do. I have things I want you to say. You have children to raise, homegirl. And I said, Lord, I don't think this is for me, Lord. I don't know. And he started literally shining bits of light in so many different ways. And sometimes we want the Lord to just show up and be like, show me in my face. Look outside at the sun and notice that nobody goes out there and turns it on wrong. Amen. Nobody goes out there and says, hey, the sun's too hot today, y'all. We got to turn the planet. That's not it. And so we really have to understand that when Jesus came down to be the light of the world, he came to share and restore it for others. Don't be selfish with your life. Uncover your light. Illuminate your light. Allow God to turn you up. Amen? Allow God to turn you up. Before I close, the Greek word for light of the world is theos, T-H-O-S, theos. There is plenty of times in the Old Testament where God speaks through fire. And so one of the things that I encourage any believer, anybody that identifies with Jesus being our Lord and Savior, and even those that are intrigued about Jesus being our Lord and Savior, understand that there's an illumination that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I was very the Lord always gives me every bit of confirmation before I get up and preach. I'm like, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? And when the Bible verse John 10:10 came up, I said, yes, this is it. This is what you want me to preach, because that was my original verse. The Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is not why my closing verse. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy every piece of light and fire there is. He does not want your brain to connect any other neuron. He doesn't want your brain to connect any other light switch. He doesn't want your brain to communicate any other thing to itself as far as healing and deliverance and anything through Christ Jesus. He wants you to stay in a dead space. And understand that light is essential for life. And if you already have the light of Christ inside of you, then Satan cannot do anything to you that you don't allow. You don't even hold your own salvation. He can't take that. But he does come to steal, kill, destroy all your dreams, all your desires, all your aspirations, all of those things that will cause your life to be covered, to be buried, to be put on low, to all of those things. And Jesus wants you to know that he came and defeated all of that. He's the ultimate light. He can relight your fire to be illuminated so big that only you understand how God did that for you. So allow Christ to come in and do that. Allow Christ to come in and reconstruct that myelin. And it's something called the hippocampus. When you learn something and you learn emotions about it, the hippocampus keeps it. The amygdala, your emotions, runs off of it. And that's how you always respond to things. Allow Jesus to come in and reset those neurons in that hippocampus. So when it goes to that amygdala, your emotions are like, Jesus is the light of the world. He defeated all darkness. All darkness comes with sickness, depression, disease, all of those things that allow you to be dampened in God's kingdom, in his kingdom purpose as far as what you're doing for him on earth. Amen. Don't allow Satan to come steal, kill, destroy any of that. All of those things that you go through on a daily basis, and especially talking to kids for real now, like all of those things that you go through on a daily basis that you can't control, don't allow Satan to damper your fire. Stay lit. Stay lit. I was one of those children that lived in a space where I wanted, things could have been so much better, y'all. Things could have been so much better. But God allowed our fires to stay lit. Me, my sister, and my brother, God allowed the fires to stay lit. And now when things come up, we all kind of look at each other and be like, okay, we can do this. Yes, it's still times when we get weak and we say, oh, Lord, wait. But at the same time, when we were children, sometimes don't understand why they're going through what they're going through. And God specifically sometimes are doing things to sanctify those children. We know those kids. We see them. Most of the time, them kids are quote-unquote troublemakers. I'm going to be clear. Most of the time, the kids that have some of the biggest lights are your troublemakers. And it sounds bad to say, but be a light that teaches a child to maintain their light. Be a child that teaches another child to maintain their light. Be a, like, don't allow generations to not intermingle because of their generations. That's not my generation. No. All light crosses all pathways and all universes and all atmospheres and all things. Light has no boundaries. So allow Jesus' light to come in and cross those pathways. Amen? Amen. Light, Britannica says that light is a primary tool for perceiving the world and communicating within it and restoring the community. Once I got to see that Jesus really came in to restore, and literally him being the light of the world restores things within your brain and within your body. Light restores things, y'all. It restores life outside. We see plants when they don't have light, and then when they do get light, we see them. So allow your light to be illuminated. Allow your light, your fire, to not be quenched. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a work that only you know that God's going to do in you. There are things that have transferred me in the last 6 months, and I was like, Lord, that was all you. Because if that was left up to me, I get somebody else to do it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray, and then I hope you all have an amazing Saturday. Lord, thank you for allowing your word to be fresh. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be merely a vessel, but allow every word that came out of my mouth that was for your will, Lord. Allow all the things to be saturated on our hearts, Lord, and allow us to meditate on your word, Lord. Allow us to be illuminated and transformed, and allow our fires to be lit even bigger for you, Lord. Thank you again for every piece of you that covers the earth, Lord, every revelation that we see within media and all of those things, Lord. Thank you for just showing up as you always do. Thank you again for being amazing. And bless everyone that was participating in this service in the front or in the back, all the listeners, Lord, all the future listeners, Lord. And just bless them with your light. Give them more light, Lord. Give them all the light that they need in so many different ways. Give them the different phases of light, Lord. And just thank you again for being graceful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. Truth in me, you light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need.
Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, this little light of mine got
Ooh, that was a perfect song to close out that sermon. When I think about light, I think about how, you know, if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever and get some light bulbs, you know, there's different wattages. I don't know if wattages is a word, but it's going to be a word today. Like, there's different, you know, depending on how dim you want the room to be, you know, you might get 15, 20, 25, but I think you can go all the way up to 100. That's like the brightest in a regular light. And then you've got LED lights and all this other type of stuff. Your light can get brighter depending on the wattage that you're using. But when it's dark, it's just dark. Like nothing grows in the dark. Go put a plant or a tree or some flowers or something in a closet and close the closet and see when you go back to that closet if that plant won't be dead. Nothing flourishes in the dark. And so when Jesus came, he came to be the light of the world. You know, the Holy Spirit, that's the light within us. And we're supposed to illuminate and reflect light off of ourselves onto this world and onto others because we have Jesus in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to be reflecting the Lord out onto others. So what an amazing word, not just for those who have been in the word for a long time, but for the youth. You know, when Pastor Sarah, when she said, stay lit, like I know that's a term that the young people use, this generation uses, and we lit, but are you lit with the light of Christ? Because that's really the only lit that matters. Get lit with the light of Christ by reading his word and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Get lit in that and then stay lit as you continue to read his word and continue to get more of an understanding of who God is and who Jesus is and who he created you to be and what he created you to do, because it's your light that you use to be bright and to brighten someone else. We get the sun. Look, the sun comes out every day whether it shines on us or not. We know that when it's, you know, cloudy outside, super, super cloudy outside, you're like, oh, Jesus, it's dark. Where is the sun? The sun is still out. It's just covered by clouds, but it still comes out. So when you move the clouds out of the way, the sun shines brighter, and then all of a sudden everything is bright and it illuminates. So when you go around to school and work and friends and family and wherever you're at, just make sure that you shine and shine bright and not only get lit, but stay lit. Amen. So that was just a wonderful word that we received today. Thank you, Pastor Sarah, for bringing it to us with your intensity. You're amazing. I think you already know that, but in case you didn't, you are. And so we're so thankful for the word that you brought to us today. And for the youth, like this has been Youth Saturday, like the kids really need to hear that they are valued, they are important, and Jesus can do anything because he's already done everything. Amen. So, again, thank you for the word that you brought to us today. Happy Saturday, everybody. It is the fourth Saturday in the month of November. I totally forgot to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving last week when we were on Blog Talk Radio. So I do pray that everyone had a happy and blessed and full Thanksgiving. Amen. So by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, November 26th, we will be having our Sunday morning worship service. Amen. So Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., taught by Pastor Janice Tate. And our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team, of course, transitioning us from Sunday school into our Sunday morning worship service. So come on out to worship with us. Amen. 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Pastor O is bringing the word for tomorrow, so please come on out. Amen. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Minister Richard Overall is in his series Training Day, so make sure to tune in for that. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Blog Talk Radio Bible class. Okay, a textbook is required for the class, so if you plan on being an attendant, make sure you get the book. Visit our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Bible Classes tab to purchase the book. Make sure to read the assignment before the class, and the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. So this week, the lesson will be Judgment and Exile.
Amen. It says Deacon Charles Tate is teaching the lesson for this week. So, again, please make sure to tune in on Wednesday at 6 o'clock for our Bible class. Amen. Every Friday, 7 o'clock, don't forget, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. So just make sure to join in and comment on the discussion about our children. So Minister Lachelle Anderson has a Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. Amen. And this is on Mondays at PM. The call-in number is area code 515-605-9735. Again, 515-605-9735. You can go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and you can find this information. Again, on Mondays at 6:30, Minister Lachelle Anderson has her Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. Amen. So make sure to tune in for that. And obviously, as a new announcement, this Monday, okay, 2 days from now, November 27th at 6 o'clock, we will have our new Bible class that will begin, entitled Biblical Giving. Amen. It's going to be taught by Pastor O, and it's going to be from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. Amen. So if you need the book, it does have to be purchased. So please go to our church website, rfcm.org, or Pastor O's personal website, Pastor GMO, Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com. To make your purchase. Pastor O has sent out the questions. Been going on about 2 weeks now that we're going to be talking about for discussion. Pastor O did mention that we are not going to read the entire book, but those questions are going to help guide discussion. And so you have the book. Just read the book. Amen. God wants you to be blessed in all that you do. And so we always, in some form or fashion, transition into the new year with faith, finances, and you. So I believe this is going to be Pastor O's way of kind of taking it a step further, not so much with faith, finances, and you, but with biblical giving, which, I mean, is the same thing, but it's going to be a little bit more intense because now we're going to have a book that we're going to be going through. So, again, if you need your book, go to rfcm.org or pastorgmo.com in order to purchase the book. The questions were sent, like I said, about 2 weeks ago, so check your email and make sure to set yourself an alarm to be in attendance on Monday, November 27th at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio for Biblical Giving. Amen? Amen. So as another announcement, WCA Parent Activity Council presents Prayer and Pancakes. Amen? So join us for prayer, fellowship, and pancakes at Westside Christian Academy on Thursday, December 7th. From 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Amen. So you need to RSVP by November the 30th. And so if you would like to participate in this fellowship, please go to www.westsideca.org/breakfast for more information. Amen. Please remember that all classes and services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Don't forget to check out our church website, again, rfcm.org. There's classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more. Again, all available for free. So just make sure that you use it for what you need it for and make sure to share it with others. Amen? If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought the word to you today to remind you to be light because you are light because Jesus is light and he is the light of the world. Amen. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. You can give through tithes and offerings through PayPal or however you choose to. But I do believe that Pastor Sarah has a Cash App listed on there. So if you'd like to give that way as well, just go to Preacher Offerings and you'll be able to see her information there. And you can bless her however you choose. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with her. Amen. So again, you did hear about Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 that says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So if you walk in somewhere and you're the light in the dark place, guess what? You're shining on everybody. Amen. So in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, and they're going to see them. Why? Because you lit. Amen. You can only see things in the light. Okay. We stumble around in the dark, but we see things when it's lit. Okay. So let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things. We're going to be doing that in a matter of a month or so. We're going to be showing people, you know, supposedly how much we love them by buying them gifts and giving them gifts. But we know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things, okay? A kind word goes a long way. A conversation that you can have with someone who seems like they have had just about enough, okay? The gift of love is free. A warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be sunshine to somebody in your world today, because it's dark for some people. This is a really rough time of year for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But you can go and light up somebody's world, even if it's only one person. Amen. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So just by way of prayers, we ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Shirley, Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Doris and Nakia Gaither, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston and her family, Melanie and her father. He is ill. Continue to pray for baby Jedediah, his mom Micah, as well as his father Anthony, Darius Freeman and his mom Keela, Ed and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all of those who are providing care, nurses, doctors, caregivers, those who serve in the medical field, those who are in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, hospice care, teachers, students, staff, administrators. Okay, we need to always be praying for our kids and those who are responsible for them during their day. Amen. All leaders in our communities from local all the way up to Washington, our president, our vice president, continue to pray for those who have the rule over us in any capacity. Continue to pray for your pastor and those who shepherd you. Continue to pray that they continue to follow the Lord as you continue to follow them, because they are shepherding you. Amen. We got everybody at Run for Christ Ministries on lock, okay? So just make sure you pray for the person and the people who are responsible for going before the Lord and bringing you a word, because people think pastoring is easy. I'm not a pastor, and it's not, okay? Talk to Pastor Jonathan Tate. He said he ran for a long time, and then Jesus hemmed him up, and now he's one of our pastors, okay? Pastor O, he got a plate full of stuff. Pastor Terrence got a plate full of stuff. Pastor Sarah got a plate. Look, it's not easy being a pastor, amen? And so when you are in this body and in this life and still trying to do the will of the Lord, and you're on the front of the stage because everyone is looking at you for guidance and leadership, you got to be right. And so nobody's perfect in any way, shape, or form, not even our pastors, preachers, and teachers, or our leaders. That's why we have to continue to keep them in prayer, because they got a big old giant target on them, and the enemy is constantly coming at them. So we need to make sure that we keep them lifted up and supported in prayer. Amen. Again, we also want to continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving all around the world. Amen. So the holidays are upon us. We celebrated one big holiday just a couple days ago, and we all need to take the time to stop and think about others and what they may be going through during this time of year. Some are missing friends and loved ones. Some are lonely, alone. Some have no hope and are suffering from depression. We need to be kind, caring, and courteous to everyone, but most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, to love one another as I have loved you. And so remember to treat others not the way that they treat you, especially if they treat you bad, but how you want to be treated. Amen. So just as continuous bereavement, we just want to continue to ask that you pray for Amir and his family and the loss of his grandmother, Deaconess Lisa and her family and the loss of their loved one. I know it's Lisa's niece. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Mary Tate and the loss of her sister. I don't have any information about arrangements at this time, but nevertheless, please make sure to keep her and her family continuously lifted up in prayers and all of those all around the world. Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if they celebrated this whole month, because this month is literally about to be over. I think, what, next Saturday is already, what, the 1st of December, somewhere around there. So happy birthday to London, who celebrated on the 3rd, Tamika celebrated on the 6th, Noah celebrated on the 11th, Jackson celebrated on the 17th, Destiny celebrated on the 21st, Sincere celebrated on the 23rd, and Reese closes us out at Running for Christ Ministries with her birthday on the 29th. Again, you didn't hear that from me. If she asks you how you know, you'll just tell her a bird told you, but don't say me, okay, because I'm technically not supposed to know. Amen. So happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. Last but not least is your devotional, and it is entitled Good News for Bad Times. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I love his devotionals, and that's why I read them to you. Amen? So it's entitled, again, Good News for Bad Times, and it reads as follows. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. And that's John chapter 16, verse 33. So a number of years ago, I went with a pastor friend of mine, Tony Price, to a conference in Southern California. We had some free time on Saturday, and decided to go to Universal Studios. Tony told me about this great ride at Universal called Back to the Future. He made it sound so fun that I could not wait to give it a whirl. Well, it did not take me long to realize that the ride was not for me. It messed with my equilibrium, something fierce. I became nauseous within 60 seconds. In fact, I really thought I was going to throw up mid-ride. The only way I got through without losing my breakfast was to turn my head and fix my eyes on the back wall, the lone stationary object in my line of sight. The ride only lasted a few minutes, but it seemed to my queasy self to last an eternity. I was on a bad ride and desperately wanted to get off. Can you relate to being on a bad ride in life? Do you ever feel like George Jetson, who got stuck on a runway treadmill and cried out to his wife, "Help, Jane, stop this crazy thing"? Everyone faces bad rides from time to time. To be sure, life has its share of troubles and problems. Take Job, for example. He knew a lot about trials and tragedies. He lost all his wealth and all of his precious 10 children in one fell swoop. It was a barrage of bad news that came to him in rapid fire one day. Just go read Job chapter 1. Soon after, he lost his health, and he was covered in sore boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. His misery seemed to know no bounds, and his suffering was off the charts. Yet when Job learned of the tragedies that befell his family and the loss of all his financial wealth, the scripture says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. So what an amazing faith he had. But what about you? Are you in trouble today? Is life especially hard right now? Without question, bad times are not fun times, but they are extremely good learning times. Typically, we learn the greatest lessons in the toughest times of life because it's in the hard times when we are most humble and most open to the Lord. One of my favorite poems reads like this. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned that day when sorrow walked with me. When you are walking in turbulent, troublesome, negative times, it is critical to put some positive things into practice. So number one, keep looking up and rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what you may be facing, God is still on his throne. He still loves you and still has a good plan for your life. Offer genuine thanks to the Lord, even if you have to do it through clenched teeth. The Lord says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." That's Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Thanksgiving can be a sacrifice at times, but God is honored when we give him the praise and thanks. he rightfully deserves. Number two, keep your thoughts on the truth. When bad times come, it is easy to fill your mind with negative, depressing, and miserable thoughts. Don't do it. You can choose your thoughts just like you choose your friends. Let your mind dwell on what is true and honorable and right. Now, see Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 for that. You are what you think. So think God's wonderful truth and not the devil's depressing lies. Number three, focus on the light at the end of the tunnel. Do you know some of the most encouraging five words in all of Scripture? And it came to pass. Amen. That's five words. And it came to pass. The bad times you are currently experiencing didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It came for a reason, to teach you to trust God and to help you understand that Jesus never fails. He truly will work all things together for your good and his glory. And number four, remember Job. After months of suffering, God taught him critical lessons he needed to learn. And Job passed the testing of his faith with flying colors, more in love with God than ever before. Furthermore, God restored his riches double from what they were before. And the Lord gave him 10 more children to go with the 10 that were in heaven. Job was an extremely blessed man who lived a long life and saw his sons and grandsons to the fourth generation. Listen, tough times never last, but tough people do. Ask God to strengthen you in your bad ride in life and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He will never fail you or forsake you, and he will always see you through every dark valley. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements. Amen.
Yeah, amen. You know what, Crystal? I was thinking about what Sarah preached, the light, what you just preached about. Amen. You know what? It reminds me of that great preacher I heard one day, James Brown, say, "Have you seen the light?" And then Bishop Elwood Blues said, the Blues Brother, Bishop Blues Brother, "I see the light." Amen. And when you see the light, you can get it right. You can dance all the way down the aisle. I ain't been able to flip down the aisle like him yet, but, you know, amen, or jump as high as some of them praise singers, but they were seeing the light.
Amen. Amen. You can get right in the light.
This has been awesome.
Lord, have
everything boils down to, are we walking in the light that Jesus provides? It all comes down to that. Job found the light, and the light hadn't even come yet, but Job found it in a theotic form, right?
That's right.
He found
enough
light. How many of us could make it through what Job made it through?
Oh, God.
Amen.
I always say,
you talking
Jesus,
about
please don't Job me.
That's
please, Jesus, don't Job
light.
Me.
Don't Job me.
Don't Job me.
About that
don't
much
Job
light. Me. Amen. Well, he had the light, sure enough light. He couldn't
Lord
have no 25-watt bulb. I like wattages.
Oh, he could not.
Yeah,
yeah,
I got to get some
Amen.
Wattages.
Yeah.
Go to the store and tell the lady.
Word.
Yeah, I would go to the store and tell the lady in the light department, I need some wattages. Crystal said I can get wattages here.
Whatever. Y'all know what I mean.
It should be. It sounds good to me, but you know me, right?
Oh, I know, exactly. Like, that's a Pastor O word right there. Wait a minute.
That's a Pastor O word. Wattages.
Oh,
I'm
hell.
Go give me some
wattages.
I need three wattages. My light's out.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh,
Jesus.
But, you
Lord
know, it's been good. This has been awesome. Thank
Always.
You, Crystal.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
You. Tell my
Absolutely.
Boy in the mirror, I say, what's up? Well,
you
he,
know
he
I
ain't
will.
My boy no more. He's my man now.
Your man,
well,
your
no,
girl, yeah,
no,
your homie. No,
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 we'll go
no,
back to
no
my
not
homie.
Like that.
Yeah, my homie.
Your homie, yeah, your homie, yeah, your
homie.
Woo,
PC
what's
it up,
man.
PC.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. Ooh, got out of that real quick. Amen.
Real quick.
But thank you, Crystal. Have a rest
You're
and a
welcome.
Blessed day. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. And I know you got blessed today because the Lord poured it out. If you didn't get it, your bag wasn't open. See, I once heard a preacher say, who did a revival for us way back in the day, he said, you need to come to church for the shopping bag. And I'm like, okay, preacher, I thought I knew you, but it sounded like you're finna go crazy. But anyway, the preacher said you should come to church with your shopping bag and hold it open, ready to receive. Amen. Amen. Everything we need is in Jesus. Everything we need. Hey, tomorrow, if you get a chance, come out to the church. I'm going to be preaching about the glory of the new covenant. And if you want to find out why it's so glorious, you need to hear this. God gave it to me the other day. And amen. And it is so relevant for what's going on in these days and times. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Let me snatch out this benediction. Amen. I'm getting ready. I feel something coming from the Lord for my wife. Amen. Special prayers for Sister Cheryl Overall or Mother Hamilton. Amen. Continue to pray for her as well as all the other mothers. Amen. So keep them all in your prayers. The devil is busy. And he don't care if you 8 to 80 blind, crippled, or crazy. He is busy. Amen. All those kinds of people had to come to Jesus. Why? Because the devil was busy. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, pray for him and for everybody in the body of Christ. Why? Because the devil is busy. But guess what? We got the light. We don't have to let the devil take nothing from us. He don't get to steal. Sarah done already preached that. Amen. She done already preached it. Amen. I'm going to leave it alone. She done already preached it. But, amen, got me kind of stirred. Amen, got me kind of stirred. Amen. Thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for all her work and for Deaconess Rebecca Johnson for that altar call. I want to thank Pastor Janice Tate for the awesome church school. Amen. And for everybody else who tuned in, or of course, Crystal. Amen. And I think that's everybody. God bless you. God keep you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength. Lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud, I sing it all day. His will. This cattle on a thousand hills, and there
I say